Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, alongside Alex Apple from Fox 17, scheduled to be joined by Corey Curtis here in just a second, getting into all of the Brady news over the weekend. And Alex, this is like a never-ending saga. He was at, I think, a Syracuse game over the weekend with Julian Edelman. They were sitting courtside, and some dude in the crowd, like, super zoomed in to watch Tom Brady apparently FaceTiming with Mike Vrabel, and it has caused a ruckus on the social media. It's been awesome to watch.
It's incredible video work from the guy.
It really
is.
He deserves a job of some sort. And to help us talk more about this, we bring in our good friend from News 2, Corey Curtis. Corey, how's it going, my man?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
Doing great. So, Corey, every Monday night, my wife forces me to watch The Bachelor, and there's so much drama surrounding one human being. And I feel like Tom Brady is like the real-life sports version of The Bachelor, just drama all the time. What did you make of the latest over the weekend of the FaceTime video, the Zapruder film-like footage taken from the crowd? You know, Tom Brady was caught on camera. Julian Edelman was messing with him, saying he's coming back. He ended up saying he's not at the end of it. Just a lot of things going on Tom Brady at a Syracuse game over the weekend. What did you make of the latest drama?
Well, look, I mean, we know they're friends, and we know they're good friends. So I don't make a whole lot of that, other than the fact that this is why I thought he's likely coming to Tennessee anyway. But even if he wasn't a free agent, it wouldn't be surprising if he was FaceTiming or talking with Mike Vrabel. So I don't make that much of it. I mean, are they negotiating a deal while he's at a basketball game? No.
Probably not.
Mike Vrabel doesn't negotiate the deals anyway. Vin Marino negotiates the deals. So I don't make that much of it, other than it confirms again just how good of friends that they are.
Corey, we were having a conversation earlier about officiating in pro sports, and obviously the latest example, Saturday night, the Predators have a call go against them, a goaltender interference call. When you go back and look at it, you can make a pretty strong case that it was not goaltender interference. And it got us in the conversation of, should officiating and officials in sports be held more accountable than they are? Number one, what would your response to that question be? And number two, how would you go about doing that?
Well, I mean, we're already in a situation in the NFL where referees and some of these guys are retiring because they don't want to hear any more of it. I mean, they get lit up all the time. And it's a thankless job because they're human beings and they're going to make mistakes. They just are, because they're human beings. Players make mistakes all the time. Coaches make mistakes all the time. And I know, you know, there's the difference there, that those guys have to be accountable to a level. They all have to do interviews afterwards. They all have to explain afterwards. They can all be fired or cut from their jobs afterwards. So there's a level of accountability.
There's got to be a way for leagues to insulate the officials from that and still be accountable, though, right?
Well, I mean, you would think, you know, you hear about review processes afterwards, and like in the NFL, you know, there are certain officials that we never see in the playoffs, and we never see them in the playoffs for a reason, because the playoffs are a reward for these guys. The guys who grade out as the best officials get the very biggest games at the end of the year. So I know it's frustrating, and I don't have the magic answer for it, other than to say that I tend to, you know, believe me, I get frustrated with officiating just like everybody, but I also understand it's a thankless job. It really is. It's kind of like being an offensive lineman. Nobody wants to know that you're there, and they only really know that you're there if you do something that upsets them.
Let me ask you about a Titans question. An interesting option for them as they chart a course through their offseason. Some ESPN reporting this weekend that Malcolm Butler could be a cut candidate for the Titans. Of course, he's due $13 million next year. Cutting them would allow them to get out of about half of that contract, freeing up $6 to $7 million is not insignificant. But if you're not going to bring back Logan Ryan, or if you're unsure if you're going to bring back Logan Ryan, and you were to also move on from Malcolm Butler, you would think that that would be a scenario that would not be appetizing for anyone in that building. So in what realm would that be possible, or how would the Titans pull it off, especially coming off a season in which they keenly learned how valuable that cornerback depth is?
Yeah, I mean, I can't see a situation where you let them both go. I just can't. And, you know, like you just said, they only save about $6 million if they let him go, because I think his number is like 13, and it's like 6 or 7 if they let him go. So you're not saving that much. But I guess if you'd rather keep Logan over Malcolm, and say Malcolm, then Logan's number is 10 again, then really you're paying him 16 this year, because you got to tack on 6 to whoever you're going to replace him with. You got to tack 6 onto his number. And, you know, that number is going to be really high for this year. I guess if you were really desperate to free up the cap space, you know, he could be a guy. But I would find that to be unlikely move in my scenario. But like I said, if you were desperate to clear up 6 or 7 million, that would be one place you could go, because there's only limited places you can go. We all know the main guys that are likely not going to be back: Cam Wink, Delaney Walker, Deion Lewis, and possibly Ryan Succop. But if you want to free up big chunks after that, the only two real guys to go after are Jarrell Casey and Malcolm Butler, and they're fairly significant guys on your football team that are pretty good players. And, if you're going to cut them, you better be cutting them for an awfully good player.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us. And, Corey, there was a report from Pro Football Talk yesterday talking about how one team has been told the Titans offensive tackle Jack Conklin plans to sign with the Jets. Adam Schefter later came out and said that he's going to have many suitors in free agency, not necessarily expected to sign with the Jets. How difficult is it going to be realistically for the Titans to keep Jack Conklin with the amount of suitors we all believe he's going to have this offseason?
Well, I think if they really want to keep him, their only chance is to tag him. That's the only chance they've got, because he is going to get more than Taylor Lewan got. And that's, you know, does that mean he's better than Taylor Lewan? Not necessarily. It just means that's where the market is. People are desperate for offensive line help. It's why, you know, before the last season, you know, my opinion was of the same with Jack Conklin and Derrick Henry. And that was, with both of them going into the last year, it was going to be very difficult for them to keep either of them, because either A, they were going to not play well enough for them to want them back, or B, they were going to be so good that it was going to be hard to bring them back because they were going to be too expensive. We all expect Derrick Henry to be back because he's the face of the franchise at this point. They're tied up in tickets with him. He's got to be back. But Jack is, you know, people have been critical of the Titans now for not picking up that fifth-year option, but nobody was when it happened, because he was coming off several knee injuries and was not having, you know, as good of a year or years as he had his rookie year. So, you make decisions sometimes. Sometimes they pay off, sometimes they don't. This is my long answer saying, I do not see Jack Conklin come back unless they put the franchise tag.
So, Corey, where do you see this tracking more then? Are we in a sign a right tackle, draft an edge rusher, or sign an edge rusher, piece together your right tackle through the draft, and maybe some combination of Dennis Kelly and someone else? Do you have a sense on that?
Well, look, they're going to struggle to sign any big-time players at tackle or edge rusher because of cap space, and those guys are expensive. So they could, but I know they were looking hard at tackles in the draft. So, you know, but the other problem is, you know, the Titans have had a break with Dennis Kelly. They've had him cheap for years, and everybody is saying the same thing right now, and that Dennis Kelly won't be as cheap this year. He's going to cost more money. And if they want to keep Dennis Kelly, they probably need to make sure he signed before he hits free agency. I would think, for myself, that the best path you could go is get Dennis Kelly back and draft somebody. And, you know, as far as edge rusher, you know, they could still try to draft somebody there as well, because, John Robbins said there's good depth at the tackle position or at the offensive line spot. So, you know, they could possibly get somebody there in round two or three, you know, at that right tackle spot. They used a third rounder last year at guard. But these edge rushers, you know, like Udon, you know, these guys are going to be $15, $16, $17 million. You know, so it's not going to be cheap, you know, to bring those guys in, and we'll see what they can exactly afford.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Corey, thanks so much for coming on with us this morning, man. We appreciate it.
All right, you guys have a great morning. Thanks for having me.
You too. Thank you.
Robbie, I know my first reaction to that is I'm not sure that I like Jack Conklin at the, quote, mini suitors price.
Oh, it's going to be
he's a great, he's gonna be a great really player, expensive. But I'm not sure I like him off the market price. I mean, you brought it up last week when we were talking about it. I think that the franchise tag for Conklin or no Conklin has to be what you're looking at as the two most likely options for him, aside from an open market, I don't even know, $12, $13 million a year contract, maybe more.
Yeah, and I think most fans hear what Corey just said right there, and when he was saying, you know, he's going to make more money than Taylor Lewan, and they say, you know, how could that be? But that's just going to be the market this offseason for an offensive tackle. So going to be really interesting to see what the Titans do from that aspect. And we're going to continue to talk about Jack Conklin. How important is he exactly to what the Titans do? And what are the Titans going to be? What are the options going to be for the Titans if they lose him in free agency this offseason? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Alex Apple here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us on the last segment talking about Jack Conklin and his potential suitors around the NFL as we get closer and closer to free agency coming up here. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Alex Apple from Fox 17 taking you through this Monday morning where it appears it has finally stopped raining, so that's a good thing for sure. But Alex, you look at Jack
it'll be
Conklin.
Back. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, it'll be back at some point. Don't you worry. You look at Jack Conklin and the potential market for him, and like I said, I mean, Pro Football Talk came out yesterday and said that it's likely that he will sign with the Jets. Adam Schefter later came out and kind of refuted that and said, you know, he's going to have a lot of suitors in free agency. The Jets are going to show interest in Jack Conklin, and they like him, but the competition for him will be intense. So you hear that if you're the Titans and you talk about the intense competition that's going to be out there for Jack Conklin. Number one, if you're Jack Conklin, you love to hear that. Because that means you're going to get paid a pretty penny. But I think if you're the Titans, you probably need to start considering what life could be like without Jack Conklin and trying to figure out what's your backup plan going to be in that area.
Yeah, SportTrack, which is a website that tracks what essentially a player's market value would be in free agency, now has Jack Conklin at $15 million per year. Is he a $15 million player? Just on pure talent alone, maybe not.
Right.
Maybe he is, maybe not. But there's some question there. And so you're going to have to pay a premium. Corey Curtis thinks that the most likely option is that he would be tagged if he's back. The Titans, though, also at the NFL Combine last week, meeting with several offensive line prospects. I made a note of just a couple of them that have been reported that the Titans have met with. TCU offensive tackle Lucas Niang, Sadiq Charles from LSU, Cameron Clark from Charlotte, Matt Hennessy from Temple, John Runyon from Michigan, again, Josh Jones from Houston, Austin Jackson from USC. Jones and Jackson, two of the top-rated offensive linemen on the board. And I think now after the combine, there were so many of these guys that tested quite well. And now that's not a pure football test. Sometimes you just have to cut on the tape and these guys show out. But there were so many guys that tested well, it now feels like a much deeper offensive line class than it did when I sat in here even last week, because I think I offered the opinion that it didn't seem as deep once you got past the top 15 or so, where you might have three or four offensive linemen go. But now it looks like there's several going to be some options there at 29. Now, whether that's where you really want to go remains to be seen, but at least you look like you'll have options there, and you'll have to make that tough decision. Edge rusher, cornerback, offensive lineman, where are we going?
Right, and we've talked all offseason long about the big four of Tannehill, Henry, Conklin, and Logan Ryan, and I think most of us have come to the conclusion that would probably be more important to keep Jack Conklin in the mix as opposed to Logan Ryan. It sounds like it's going to be really hard for the Titans to do that, and I wonder how that changes their approach to free agency to this offseason if they're not able to do that, because we all agree that edge rusher has got to be a need they address this offseason, whether that's in free agency or in the draft. But you can't just go out there without a right tackle next year. I mean, if it's not Jack Conklin, maybe it is Dennis Kelly. Maybe you get him locked up before he becomes a free agent. But that's going to be really important, because we saw last year to start the season, the offensive line really struggled in the first 5 to 6 games of the season. Now, some of that was because Lawan was out with suspension, and some of it was you had new guys in there. Roger Saffold, I think it took him some time. Nate Davis as well, it took him some time. Conklin was fully coming back from an injury and making progress in that aspect. And we saw toward the end of the season, once they were able to play games together, get some chemistry together, and start moving as one cohesive unit, they were very, very good, particularly in the run game. You don't want to, if you're the Titans, have to start from scratch and rebuild that all over again.
And you don't want to have Tom Brady or Tannehill and Derrick Henry in this offense that looks like it's poised to break out over an entire season, and the one problem that you have be the right side of the offensive line.
Yep.
Nate Davis, still only a second-year player. He played okay last year. He certainly seemed to get better as the year went on. I don't know that you want a rookie right tackle next to a second-year right guard with a – gosh, even a Tom Brady in the lineup. I mean, he is a statue at this point in his career. So here's what I'm doing if I'm the Titans. I'm going to franchise tag Jack Conklin. I don't want my quarterback on just a one-year deal. At least with Brady, you're getting at least two. I want to know that I'm having Brady for two or Tannehill for four, and then I'm going to franchise tag my right tackle, and then I think you can spend that first-round draft pick on an edge rusher or a cornerback, whatever you feel like you need most, and then you're able to, in the second or third round, draft that guy that you have a reasonable expectation can play instead of Conklin a year from now. Because the chance of Conklin playing 2 years on a tag, quite slim, and now yep. You're losing a tag as well. But you need to, if you're only going to franchise tag Jack Conklin, it saves you the worry that that right side of the line all of a sudden is going to be a big liability. But you need to have something coming from behind there, because you are going to need, with how the cap is looking for the Titans, a guy on a rookie contract to play that position very soon, and you've got to at least start planning for that this year.
And it's amazing how we've talked all offseason long about how much cap space the Titans have and how they're going to have the ability to maybe do some things. But after the quarterback gets signed, Derrick Henry gets signed, you know, maybe you do franchise Jack Conklin, all of a sudden that cap space that you have, it's running out of room
very quickly.
And Corey Curtis mentioned in the last segment, we've talked all offseason about maybe signing a free agent pass rusher. But if you get one of those top guys, you're talking $15, $16, $17 million per year. You're probably not going to have room to do that at that point. I mean, it's going to be really challenging.
No, and I know that Titans fans love when John Robinson trades up. I mean, any fan would, because it means that he's got his eye on a guy and he's doing whatever it takes to go get him. But it's time to stop trading up. You need to lengthen the roster, right? You need the Dane Cruikshanks, the third, fourth, fifth round picks over the last 2 or 3 years to start to play, because you've got to have a back end of the roster, one that's a little better than it was last year, because you're going to need depth, especially if you're going to go into an AFC Championship Super Bowl run. Guys are going to get hurt. There's no reason to expect that they wouldn't. So that depth becomes so important, and that back end has to be built off of guys that are on low team favorable contracts from the draft. So it is incumbent upon John Robinson to maximize. You need 5, 6, 7 players that can, at the very least, play special teams for you, but probably contribute in some capacity next year. You've got the top end talent. You may need it at edge rusher, but I'm not sure you can get it. So you've got to find guys that are going to lengthen this roster.
And it really is amazing to see kind of the journey from Jack Conklin, when, you know, had a great rookie season, was an all-pro in his rookie year, decent in his second year, then the injury happens, and he's been battling back from it ever since. The Titans don't pick up the option, which, as Corey said in the last segment, some people are criticizing them for right now. I think there was really no way they were going to pick up the option when they were forced to make that decision at the time, given his injury history and the way that he had played since he had come back. And for now, for Conklin to rebound the way he did last year, And let's be honest. I mean, it wasn't like Jack Conklin was perfect last year. There were still some warts.
Certainly not. That's why you got to ask. $15 million, is that worth it?
Right. But to be in that position, if you're Jack Conklin, with the payday that you're about to receive, that just shows how much value there is in the offensive tackle position in the NFL. And I agree with Corey. I think there's a very good chance that when all is said and done throughout this, he very well could be end up making more money than Taylor Lewan
does.
Did
he grow up a Jets fan? Why is there this narrative that he's going to the Jets?
Just a need that they have, and they're going to be willing to pay. I mean, money is the biggest reason. I mean, yeah, the Jets are a dumpster fire, Adam Gase, like all that stuff, but money talks, man.
Yeah, and Drew Rosenhaus is Jack Conklin's agent.
You give me that money, I go play for the Jets. I don't care.
I mean, I'm not complaining about playing in New York a lot. That has a great allure to a lot of guys. But if he has a choice of any team that he can go compete and try to win a Super Bowl at,
it
wouldn't be the Jets. I know for a fact that Drew Rosenhaus is going to get him every penny that they can extract from whatever team. And it wouldn't surprise me. Jets have a history of overpaying for players that don't pan out to be superstars for them. That'd be right on brand for the Jets.
It absolutely would be.
And Jack Conklin, I mean, there's worse things than living in New York with a $15 million paycheck coming at you every year.
There's no question about it. Le'Veon Bell hanging out, Jack Conklin there. They can run the ball really effective, win their 6-7 games every year, and then
take it easy in the offseason, man. If it's about overpaying, you got to think that the Redskins are going to be in the bidding.
Oh, yeah, buddy. That's what their specialty is.
Do a little Albert Hainsworth part two.
That's right.
That might have been the single greatest not re-signing move the Titans ever made, not bringing back Hainsworth, who had played incredible.
He's awesome.
So dominant, the defensive line was on the cover of Sports Illustrated for the Titans with the headline, "The Real MVPs."
Yep.
Not bringing him back, his career never took off. I don't know if he'd have been better in Nashville. His career
flatlined
after that. Cost the Redskins $70-something million, which now would have been akin to darn near $100 million. Conklin's going to get paid. I'm going with a franchise tag and a second or third round offensive tackle if I'm the Titans. I just don't think you can risk your offense being sort of ruined or stymied to a certain extent by either inability to run right or inability to pass protect for Tannehill or Tom Brady or Phillip Rivers or whoever they end up with.
When we come back, the wild card race is really heating up for the Nashville Predators. Some big games this weekend against opponents that are right there in the thick of things with them. We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Alex Apple here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Alex Apple from Fox 17 News. And a big game tonight for the Nashville Predators against the Edmonton Oilers. And the wild card race, it is hot and heavy in the Western Conference. Preds hold the second wild card spot, 72 points. On the season, Winnipeg also with 72 points, Arizona with 72 points, Minnesota with 71 points. So four teams right in the thick of things for that final wild card spot in the Western Conference. And the Predators, they got a lot to say about it this week. They got a huge week coming up. Edmonton tonight at home, Minnesota tomorrow on the road on the second half of a back-to-back. As we just mentioned, they are right there in the thick of things in the standings with the Nashville Predators. And then home Thursday against Dallas, on the road Saturday against Dallas, and we know so far this year the matchup against the Dallas Stars has not gone well for the Nashville Predators, so this is a gigantic week at home for them.
Playing the Stars is one of the reasons why Laviolette got fired.
They got bullied in two games in two weeks.
It's hard to have a ton of confidence going into those, which makes this Edmonton and Minnesota game so huge. And look, Edmonton might be second in the Pacific right now. They're only 4 points ahead of Nashville. This is, for all intents and purposes, another team you're competing with for the wild card. The only team that probably in the Pacific you're not competing with for the wild card is Vegas. You know, unless they were to hit the skids in some capacity, they're already up to 80 points,
right?
Even though they have the Preds have three in hand on them. Two teams, you're playing for the wild card. I mean, you cannot draw up more exciting hockey if you're a fan, because your team has to win these. Now, it's nerve-wracking hockey because you go Edmonton, Minnesota, Dallas, Dallas. If you're not at the top of your game, you will lose all four of those.
Yes, and I think the good news for the Predators is if you look at the way the last few games have gone, I mean, it's come right down to the wire, and they've been in the game, and that's kind of what this time of the year is about.
They've seemed to play consistently, too.
They have, and like this time of the year, especially when you're in a race like this, very rarely are you going to see games where one team just dominates the other, and that's just how it is from start to finish. Games are going to be back and forth, and you got to find ways to make those winning plays. They were able to do that against Calgary. Mikael Granlund wins the game in overtime after tying it with a tenth of a second remaining. Like, those are the type of plays, and not necessarily that dramatic, but those are the type of games you have to find a way to hang around, and make those one or two plays, whether it's in goal and the saves that you're getting, or whether it's one of your players making a play offensively. That's what you got to do this time of year. That's what it boils down to.
It starts to remind me, too, of some of the plays of past seasons where one comes to mind where Ryan Ellis, two seasons ago now, was at the point. The Preds were down late, scrambling, and Ryan Hartman, he basically shot from the point, and Ryan Hartman pinned it and redirected it into the goal. I think it was in Ryan Hartman's first game after the trade, or it was pretty quick after that. In which the Predators gave up a first for Ryan Hartman from the Blackhawks. But at the time, everyone was wondering why. And Hartman comes out and makes a big play. But anyway, those sort of stealing points late is what this team has done when they've been winning divisions the past couple of years. It's important to see them doing that again. Tonight, the big question just becomes containing Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And can Nashville's big guns play even with Edmonton's big guns? Because kind of like in the games against Dallas this year, kind of like against Colorado, they've really not so far this year. Nashville needs it to, the talk of the Edmonton game or these Dallas games to be a Philip Forsberg and not a Jamie Benn or a Leon Draisaitl, where it just seems like those guys have been so pesky for the Predators this year, especially in the absence of great contributions from Nashville's highest-paid players.
And when you look at this week, the schedule this week, you just mentioned Philip Forsberg. He officially went the entire month of February without scoring a goal. We're in March now. This has got to change.
You think
now
he scores like it's tonight or tomorrow?
I mean, I would hope so. I mean, it's got to break through at some point if you're him, because, I mean, you're not going to make it very far if Philip Forsberg's not producing offensively. And this week, it's going to be crucial that he does that, because, you know, Edmonton is loose defensively at times. You feel like you're going to do a pretty good job of at least getting chances against them. Minnesota can go either way. You never really know what that's going to look like. Dallas, you're going to have to work your butt off to get scoring chances against them. And that's when Philip Forsberg is going to have to come up big, because two huge games against the Stars to close out this week.
You need great individual plays.
You need great individual plays. You need to get to the middle of the ice in the front of the net. They have struggled so much to do that against Dallas. Not even just Dallas. They've struggled a lot to do that against St. Louis, against some of your heavier teams, against some of those teams. They really clamp down defensively and make sure that their number one priority is keeping you to the outside and to the perimeter. You got to find a way to break through that, and Forsberg's going to be a big part of that.
Do you think it's just that they don't have enough guys heavy with the puck to get to the middle of the ice against these teams that are really structured defensively?
Well, I think it's some of it, but some of that is just if you're Johansson or Forsberg,
a willingness,
just put your head down and go. Make them stop you. I don't see them doing that enough. I mean, sometimes I think they just concede the middle of the ice and like, all right, well, we're not going to get there. Let's find ways to produce and get shots from the outside. Maybe we can get a bounce to go our way and get to a puck that way. Where sometimes, like especially in Ryan Johansson's case, you're so big, just put your head down and go and make them stop you. And when he does that, he's pretty difficult to stop. I mean, we've seen that throughout his career, but this is a big week for those guys, and we keep talking about it ad nauseum here on the show about those guys, but that's because we know how important it is. Like, at some point, they got to step up and answer the bell, and that's got to happen starting this week, because as tight as the race is, as we just mentioned, three teams right now at 72 points, Minnesota right behind with 71 points, your big guns are probably going to end up being the difference of whether or not you make the playoffs this year. At some point, they're either going to produce and you're going to get in, or they're not going to produce and you're probably going to be out.
Yeah, to me, there's a consistency of effort or little things from Matt Duchene that I feel like fluctuates a little bit more with Ryan Johansson. So for that reason, I'm going to say that the most important player, and they have four games this week, you're going to start to shave off some of these games in hand. The most important player for them this week is Ryan Johansson. When he's great, the team is great. There's no question about it. When he is lousy, sometimes the team is lousy, and he is not dominant far too often. I mean, if you want to prove that you're a great player in this league, go do it against Connor McDavid, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, and a division rival who is nipping on your heels in Minnesota. Say what you want about whether they have a ton of top-end forward talent. Doesn't matter. Go do it. I'm putting this on Ryan Johansson. Personal challenge to him would have to be use this as a measuring stick. Do you measure up against those great players?
And Munson, it's interesting to me, like, how almost the exact same situation is happening in Memphis. Memphis right now, the 8 seed, just like as I guess technically the Predators are in the NHL as well. You've got New Orleans, Sacramento, San Antonio, Portland, all right there battling with me. It is very interesting how the two teams in Tennessee, when you're talking about the Preds with the NHL and the Grizzlies in the NBA, are pretty much virtually in the exact same spot in terms of the standings.
Yeah, I hope Adam Vinigan's not listening to this because, yeah, if the Pelicans get that 8 seed, then
I know, we're not going to be able to tolerate him.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to tolerate him. But, nah, I mean, Memphis is in good shape. I mean, they got their win against the Lakers this weekend. Obviously, the Pelicans lost last night to the Lakers. And, you know, that was a huge momentum win, especially after the All-Star break. You could tell the Grizzlies played a little flat. And, you know, they're suffering a lot of injuries. Brandon Clark's injured. Jaren Jackson's hurt. So, kind of, everything is on the back of Ja Morant, your rookie of the year, and you know he's performed well, and it's funny to see the Spurs in that situation. They're the only team, I think, outside of, you know, they're the only team in this race that has a quote unquote veteran presence, because they got a DeMar DeRozan, they got a LaMarcus Aldridge. The rest of these teams, the Kings, the Pelicans, the Grizzlies, are all riding the backs off of young players, and so it's just weird to see them in that spot. But nah, it's gonna, and obviously Portland with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and that group, but it's going to be an interesting race, but it's all in the Grizzlies' hands. They play a pretty hard schedule, so yeah. I mean, they're going to have to get a lot of these wins. They got the toughest schedule after the All-Star break, and so you knew coming in they were going to lose a couple games, but it's going to be rough to get by. But the Lakers, that's a big win. They're the number one team in the West right now, so kudos to the Grizzlies for getting that. But it's going to be intriguing to see. I think the Preds and the Grizzlies are going to go to the final week of each season, the NFL and or the NBA and the NHL schedule, and then we find out who has that 8 seed.
The Predators need their jaw. I mean, because it doesn't matter how that guy played the entire game. When the fourth quarter comes on and that's winning time, that guy is incredible. The Predators, that's exactly what we're talking about. Need that guy, whether it's Johansson or whoever, that it can just go get buckets. I mean, if the Predators can weather Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr.'s injuries and forge ahead with a Gorgui Dieng and Jonas Valanciunas and like Kyle Anderson or DeAnthony Melton really playing your four, I mean, they really deserve a round of applause. That team's so far ahead of schedule, whereas the Predators are the team that you would have expected that would have been the 1, 2, 3, 4 seed in the conference, not the 8.
Yeah, and that goes to show you can build your roster off young players and be successful, because I know you saw that in Cleveland, and that's the reason why we had that drama there, because you're trying to build this backcourt with two young guards who you're still trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be the dominant ball holder or whatever, but it seems like they figured that out in Memphis, because you got a guy like Dylan Brooks, you got Ja Morant, obviously, Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clark and the rest of those young guys, and yet you're supposed to be rebuilding. This is supposed to be the year that they kind of not tank, but they kind of tank, in a sense. This was play for Wiseman year.
Yes.
And sure enough, like, they have an opportunity to compete for an 8 seed and go against a Laker team that they beat and that they've looked pretty well against even during the regular season. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting battle towards the back end of the season.
My favorite thing from the weekend is now Dallas has slid down to the 7th spot in the NBA, and Luka Doncic was in Miami over the weekend. They were playing against my beloved Miami Heat, which the Heat won, by the way. And he was out and was just throwing him back in Miami. Just done. He had the thumb injury. Said, you know what? I'm not playing in this game. Let's spend a nice time on South Beach.
It's that South Beach flu
you got to worry about.
But in his defense, it's his 21st birthday.
I know.
So in his defense, you got to go all out for the 21st birthday, right? 18, 21, and 30 are probably the three birthdays you probably need to go all out for.
It always makes me worry, though, when you see a guy like, I know he's great. He's already great. It always makes me wonder, like, oh, I hope this guy doesn't get, you know, too much of the Johnny Manziel syndrome. If I'm a Stars fan, I don't care what he does. I mean, I hope he goes out and has a great time. If I lived in Miami, too, I'm sure I'd have a great time.
But
you gotta watch out for that South Beach flu. It can get you.
Yeah, it can. But, you know, even Jordan got it in Utah, so it's not, you know, you can get it anywhere.
Why are you a Heat fan?
I was the original bandwagon Heat fan. I followed Shaq when he broke up with the Lakers. Munson and I parted ways at that point.
Yeah,
I went
did.
To Miami. He stayed with L.A. And then I've rooted for the Heat ever since.
And he was going to bring a ring for the King?
Yeah, he was.
He was in the crowd, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five.
You can see me in the corner. I've got this Miami Heat streamer. I'm just throwing across over there while LeBron's talking. It's
awesome. I'm not going to lie, though. I will buy that Miami Vice, Miami Heat jersey, though.
It's awesome.
I think that's a disaster.
The NHL All-Star Game is there next year, and if they don't have like some variation of that as their All-Star jerseys, they're missing the boat.
No, I hate that. I think that teal looks terrible.
It's awesome.
Awesome.
Best looking jerseys in the NBA.
Now the Vancouver Grizzlies throwbacks.
Those are nice too.
Now we're talking.
Those are good. When we come back, we're going to look ahead at tonight's matchup for the Nashville Predators against the Edmonton Oilers. Big time matchup. Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid in the house. Preds obviously will have their hands full there. We're getting into that next. Robbie Stanley alongside Alex Appel here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Alex Appel from Fox 17 News. And Alex, it's a big-time game for the Nashville Predators tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Edmonton coming into town. They haven't had much success against the Edmonton Oilers so far this season. Connor McDavid coming in, Leon Draisaitl as well. Draisaitl already with more than 100 points on the season, 102 to be exact in 65 games. So the Preds are going to have their hands full from an offensive standpoint. Draisaitl and McDavid are about as good as it gets in the league. But after that, the depth is not great for Edmonton. So I would expect the Predators, if you can find some way to keep those guys in check, because I don't think there's really much way you can go about stopping completely Draisaitl and McDavid just with how individually gifted they are. But if you don't let those guys just absolutely torch you, you're going to be in this game against Edmonton, and then it's up to your big guns to take over the game after that and do their part.
I love this test for the Predators because it's the biggest guns in the NFL. I mean, Draisaitl and McDavid might be the best combo in the league. I don't know who you'd argue would be different or would be better.
Nobody at the moment.
It's a chance for the Predators' best player to show that they're worth their money. I mean, it was great to see Victor Arvidsson get one on that breakaway on Saturday. I mean, just get one easy, right? I mean, gosh, for all the struggles he's had. Now, of course, it speaks to the level of goal production that the whole team has had. Now, there have been balanced scoring, but the leader is only has 18. He's three off the lead, and it seems like he's played terrible half of this season. Not been himself, been injured, been slow, whatever you want to call it. I think this is a great litmus test for the Predators and their best players, and we've said that time and time again. The question is, who's going to rise up now? And if it's the answer is really no one or you waffle, they probably lose this game. Now, I'll tell you what I'd love to see. I'd love to see Mikael Granlund keep rolling because it really feels like he's got some momentum. I don't care who it is. Look, I'll settle for Rocco Grimaldi going off for a hat trick if Edmonton wins. But at some point, as we've said time and time again, the top six, the guys that are considered generally the top six, have to play like that or they're just going to reach a point where they're going to struggle against teams that have better offensive talent.
Yeah, and I wonder how the Preds are going to handle the goaltending situation because UC Soros started all last week. Now, to be fair, Rene was dealing with an illness last week that I think really sidelined him for the majority of the week last week. It's tough to ask you to come back from an illness and then play like a day later. That's not setting yourself up for much of a position to succeed. But it is a back-to-back situation now. Edmonton tonight, Minnesota tomorrow. You would assume that Pekka is going to play in one of those two games. I wonder which direction they go because Pekka historically throughout his career against the Oilers has been just unbelievable against the Oilers. His numbers that he's put up against Edmonton have been great. Now, a lot of that has coincided with the fact that Edmonton has been god-awful for the majority of Pekka Rinne's career. But I think there is something to be said about that against certain teams. Like we saw Peter Mrazek come in here a couple weeks ago with Carolina. He has dominated the Predators throughout his career. He did so once again. Pekka is 21-7-1 against Edmonton in his career. So I'd probably go Pekka tonight. That's just me.
I think it doesn't matter which way you go. You can't really divide it up because both of these teams could play a wild card role, and really you need every point you can get at this point. You have to figure out a way to get points in both games. I wish it was as easy as saying, well, I think we've got a better chance of beating Minnesota, and we feel like whoever is our hotter goaltender right now, so we'll start them against Edmonton and play our second guy against Minnesota. I just don't think it's that easy for the Preds right now, and you really have to have points in both games. So we've got an 8
point possible week in Edmonton, at Minnesota, and then a home and home with Dallas. What do you define a successful week as for the Predators? I think it's at least 5 of 8.
Yeah.
And really 6 of 8 is your goal, and maybe you drop one or two of those in overtime.
Yeah, I would think 6 of 8 is the goal. I think you'd be okay with 5 of 8. I mean, they got some help over the weekend with Winnipeg losing, Minnesota losing last night against Washington, so they're still in a good spot from a standings perspective. And really, you look up in the standings. Vancouver's in front of them with 74 points. I think the goal is to probably try to catch them by the end of the week and jump into that first wild card spot. I mean, let's be honest, it's going to be pretty difficult to creep back into the top three discussion in terms of the Central at this point. They are 9 points back of Dallas. Now, you beat them twice this week, and maybe you start to pay attention and look up at that spot a little bit, but I think that's probably going to be tough to ask. I think a successful week, if you're the Predators this week, 5 out of 8 points, certainly 6 out of 8, I think, would be the goal, and you'd feel like you're in pretty good shape at that point.
And really, the teams that they're playing against are not tracking all that hot. Winnipeg is certainly not that hot. Calgary, I guess they're playing okay. Now you've got Vancouver in the number one spot. Vancouver is a team that scares me. I don't care what you say about the last game that they played against Vancouver where they got smoked. I don't care if that was up puck luck or whatever. That's the way those games seem to go against Vancouver of late. So 5 of 8 probably does get it done as far as at least maintaining your position and maybe even picking up another a point or two. I'm going to look up Winnipeg's schedule. And that's a team.
They survived solely on their goaltending.
I thought that they were really about to take off and be one of the best teams for the next couple of years. And their defense fell apart, and their offense has been, you know, just good enough. Now, Winnipeg this week, only 2 games. So if you get 5 out of 8 points, you guarantee that you pick up a point on Winnipeg, and that's the benefit of having games in hand. They play Buffalo and then Vegas. Now they get Vegas in Winnipeg, but tough games for them as well.
Yeah, and I think when you're looking at kind of the strength of teams around the Predators right now, Winnipeg, if not for Connor Hellebuyck this year, they'd be near the bottom of the league. I mean, their offense has been okay at times with, you know, with Blake Wheeler still there, Line A, Shifley. Those guys are always going to be productive. Their defense is awful. I mean, they're just atrocious. Arizona's hit the skids as of late. They're not playing overly well. Now, Minnesota has come on a little bit as of late. Kevin Fiala right now is just playing fantastic hockey, which I'm sure makes Predators fans fans happy. Now, the good news is Fiala and Granlund have pretty much gotten hot at the exact same time, so that trade from last year that generated so much attention, working out pretty well for both sides at the moment.
Finally.
I think both sides were waiting on those two guys. Like, are y'all ever going to get this thing figured out? Kevin Fiala has started to do that as of late for Minnesota.
Now, I looked. Vancouver and Arizona also with only 2 games this week. So if you can get 5 out of 8 points, you have 4 games to everyone else's 2. 5 out of 8 points, you guarantee. And now Calgary plays Arizona. Vancouver also plays Arizona. These teams are playing one another as well. You guarantee that you will improve your spot in the standings if you get 5 out of 8. That's the advantage of having these games in hand. But the games are about to come out of hand because you only have so much time left in the season. You have to do something with those, or that's a waste of time. But 5 points, 5 out of 8, they can lose one game and lose another in overtime. They are still able to pick up at least 1 point, and that's assuming everything goes perfectly for every other team.
Right, and the disadvantage of what the Predators have coming up is, you know, you mentioned the games at hand. That means they've got a ton of games coming up very, very quickly. It's going to be difficult to have practice time. You're going to have to take advantage of rest pretty much as often as you possibly can, because they got 4 games this week, then hit the road next week in Canada for 2 games, Columbus and Minnesota back-to-back on the road coming up as well. They got a lot of games coming up in a short amount of time. You got to make sure if you're John Hines, you kind of strike that balance of, okay, they're still ready to play the games, and you want to get as much work in practice-wise as you can, but you also have to make sure they're able to function and able to skate and they're not just falling apart by the end of this month, because it's going to be a grind of a month from a physical standpoint, just with how many games they have to play.
And I think we're about to talk with John Ingram, Nashville SC owner, coming up right after the break. I think in Nashville now you've also reached a point where success of one team sort of lifts all ships, right? The Predators making the playoffs is good for the city, good for every other team, good for Nashville as a sports town. Nashville SC putting everyone on notice with 55,000 at Nissan Stadium, that you're now competing for this dollar with us. Be really interesting to talk to him, the club owner of the Nashville SC, especially after everything that went on there. Predators, though, this is winning time. This is where you make your hay, a key golden opportunity, probably the best opportunity they'll get the rest of the season this week, but tough games ahead.
Yeah, tough games ahead starting tonight for the Predators against Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers. When we come back, John Ingram, Nashville SC club owner, will join us. That's next, but first, ESPN 102.5 The Game is hitting the road for a Preds game. This year, it's off to Columbus to cheer on the Preds as they take on the Blue Jackets at Nationwide Arena on Saturday, March 14th. Tickets are on sale now, so to purchase those, visit thegamenashville.com. Trip is organized by Simply a Fan. Visit simplyafan.com for other upcoming sports adventures. Transportation for the trip provided by Gray Line of Tennessee. When we come back, Nashville SC owner John Ingram joins us. Really looking forward to that conversation on Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.